Father, I thank you, Lord, for all your children, sons and daughters that gathered together today for fellowship. And truly, our fellowship is with you, and as well with one another. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We declare that the entrance of your word through exhortation and through sharing and through testimonies today will bring light and give understanding to each of us, even on here today. Receive the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been talking about the true worship, a new and living way, or the real way of life that Jesus is looking for. Said the Father is looking for such. So let's talk about it some more today. More of a review. I'm only going to speak for a few minutes and let you cut in and share your thoughts. You know, from the beginning, there was something that was placed in the man. It was the Spirit of God. God made him and breathed into him, we're told, the breath of life. And the man became a living soul, or living spirit, if you might will. But I see that when we look now, we find out that, you know, that when there is a separation from that Spirit of God, there is a void. You know, and people are looking for something. I know what you're looking for sometimes. But it's to get back to that place of union with Him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk a little bit about through the veil. Why did He say He has consecrated a living way for us through the veil? Well, think of the veil as whatever is hindering our access into the fullness of His presence. Think of the veil that way. So, a life of worship is what gets us beyond that veil and through that veil. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord, He wants us come and fellowship with Him. Praise the Lord. And that's what He desires. Our God is God. Hallelujah. Being God also, that means, you know, there must be His worshipers. And the attribute of God being inside of Him, you know, moved Him to create us to worship Him. Angels first, and us to worship. And today, He's inviting us back into that place of worship. You know, one time Jesus told the church at Ephesus, the book of Revelation chapter 2. He said, well, I know your works, as He always said to every one of those reviews. I know thy works. You know, and these people in Ephesus, they were pretty good. In fact, you know, at first, you know, He said, I know thy works, I know thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not stand those which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and you found them liars. And so these people were pretty good at their stuff, you know. And you have borne and have had patience, and for my name's sake you have labored and has not fainted. Wow. And that's a lot of good things going for them in their review. Nevertheless, that was a strong nevertheless. Nevertheless, despite your labor, your patience, the fact that you cannot bear them that are evil, and the fact that you've even tried those who are false apostles, you call them out, you burn, you've had patience. I mean, twice it mentioned their patience. For my name's sake, and you have labored. Two times He mentioned their labor. and you have not even fainted, done all these things. Yet, he said, I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. Well, he didn't actually say here what their first love was that they lost. But despite all the things that they've done right, there was something lacking. And the first love, he said, something that he was looking for. So let's put it this way. Our works, our labor, our patience, which is all part of our worship we talked about the last 2 days. And even the fact that we're able to discern and tell apart what's good and right, and having patience and doing all these things. Yet, you know, in all of that, if our first love is not there, then the Lord is still looking for something. Well, I would think that, you know, each person will have to examine themselves to know what that their first love was. Because he didn't really say what it was. He just said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Well, they've already been doing all kinds of works. But there was one kind of works that he called their first love, whatever it was. You know, or else I'll come unto you quickly and remove your candlestick from its place, except thou repent. So let's examine ourselves. What was your first love? Part of the reason we play that song, take me back to that place of my first love. I first received you. And you know how it was with you. You know, when you first received the Lord. Well, I know how it was with me. I don't know about you, but I know how it was with me. Nobody could shut me up. You know, everywhere I went, you know, I talked about Jesus. Everywhere I went, I had a Bible. I remember even being in school. I would have a Bible with me. Well, I mean, you know, I didn't always do things the right way, but, you know, I always had that Bible, and it didn't matter whether I was in class or wherever I was. I wanted that word, needed to hear that word, couldn't do without it. I think I'm still kind of that way as far as that part goes, but I've got to examine myself to see, you know, where that first love was at. I know back in the day also, I couldn't wait. You know, not only for personal fellowship, I couldn't wait when it was communal fellowship to get there, community. You know, like David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. There's always something exciting about that to him. You know, many of us were that way too, but what do we see today? I look around. You know, even at our own church, I wish I could say that we are the model church. No. You know, you come there, you know, church supposed to start at 10 o'clock. Back in the day, the place will be filled 30 minutes, even 1 hour before. People are praying in the spirit. You know, fire of God is falling already before even the service starts. And all kinds of things are going on. People can't even wait to go into the service. They couldn't wait. And even people didn't want to leave. Today, people come 1 hour late. And if a 2 hour service runs 15 minutes over, they're already complaining. We really need to see where we're at. You know, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In this quest of getting back into a life of true worship, well, we cannot leave this particular stone unturned. This is an area, when you look around now, that is really depressing a bit, you know, when you look at it. There is no excitement, so to speak, of people even coming together for fellowship, you know. And someday, you know, I just hope people who are always late in everything will not be late to something really great, you know. So, you know, but I pray that we will be able to get back to that place where we're excited about the things of God. Excited when he says, let us go to the house of the Lord. That was first love for some folks. Well, what was your first love? You know, iniquity has abounded. The world is shifting just the same way as the earth is spinning and revolving, spinning on its axis, revolving around the sun. That's the same way that this whole world is turning and moving away from the place of truth. But God is steadfast. And he tells us also to be steadfast. Be steadfast, unmovable, he said, always abounding in the love of the Lord in our hearts. So every one of us will have to think, what was that place where once I first received you? It was excitement. Glory to God. So, and then again, there was a man that came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked. And Jesus said, you know the law. You know, I mean, love thy God, love thy neighbor as thyself, honor thy father and mother, do not covet, do not do this, do not do that. You know the law. So, well, the man said, well, but all these I have kept from my youth and up. And the Lord looked at him and he saw that it was true. You know, everything. This man, a devout man, kept the law. Every one of those things that Jesus said, you know, the law, you have kept it. It was good. And Jesus loved him, said, great job. He said, nevertheless, you know, there was that nevertheless again. Nevertheless, there is one thing that you lack. Well, there was a particular thing for that man. It's not the same thing necessarily for all of us. But his own issue, Achilles heel, if you want to call it that, was, you know, he was a man of great wealth. He loved his wealth, and the wealth was becoming a stumbling block. Nothing wrong with the wealth, but in his own particular case, you know, his dependency on his wealth, his adoration of the fact that he had all this wealth was becoming a problem for him. And Jesus said to him, the Lord already knew how he was going to react. But he said to him, well, I tell you what, you know, go sell that you have, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. So this is one thing that's holding you back from piercing that veil. That was the problem in that particular man's case. The man went away sorrowful because he had great goods and great possessions. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, well, how hardly shall the rich enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were stunned at that statement. Are you telling us, they murmured among themselves, we have to be poor in order to get into heaven? And they started to think of all the people of God, perhaps, that they knew had been wealthy. The stories are in the Bible. And Jesus had to explain it to them. Well, nothing wrong with being rich and wealthy. All those things come from God. However, those that trust in riches or uncertain riches, because those riches may be there one day and be gone the next. And said, well, it's easier. It'll be easier for a camel. Can you imagine how large a camel is to get through the eye of a needle and for a rich man to enter into heaven? Well, who then can be saved? I mean, because, you know, we're all trying, you know, to understand this. And they were all, everybody wanted to be rich. I mean, so there's nobody that wants to be poor. And Jesus explained it to them, well, you know, it's not possible with man, but with God it's possible. So, but what is your first love that you may have walked away from? Yours could be, maybe at one time, when you heard the word of God, you trembled at it. Maybe today, not so much. And I say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, the spirit of it doesn't matter has plagued that church because iniquity has abounded. And in the process of trying to be all accommodating, people have lowered the standards and say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, if it mattered at one time, it still matters today. And so, you know, our journey of a lifetime of walking with God, we've talked about it, that it begins the life of surrender and obedience and answering the call. And when Jesus would find Peter or Andrew or James or John or whatever, he would just say, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they drop everything. They didn't know the man, but there was something in them and something in that voice. And they followed. And that's where it began. Well, we must follow him every day. He looked at them at times and said, look, except you do it daily, in other words, you take up your cross daily and follow me. You know, not you. I know you did it at one time, but you got to keep doing it every day. You know, you got to do it every day. So what was that thing that made these people in Ephesus receive this kind of rebuke that they have lost their first love? Think about it. As the Lord gives us understanding concerning a true way of worship, you might discover, if you allow the Holy Spirit to gently lead you to that place of discovery, you might discover aspects of your life that are now in that nevertheless zone. You know, nevertheless, thou lackest one thing. You have lost your first love. Let's get back there. Praise the Lord. And God is able to help us. There isn't anything where we are falling short where the Lord cannot help us. That's the Holy Spirit's job. If we allow him, and if we don't let him help him, us, well, you might have to deal with that voice that would say, why didn't you trust me with that? On the day when you stand before him, because it will be an open book. And every area of our lives where we were strong-headed and unwilling to yield to the Holy Spirit, well, you're going to have to deal with it. Every one of us will give account of ourselves before the Lord. In order for us to have a life that is full, which Jesus offered, he called it abundant life, said, I come that they might have life and that more abundantly. Well, in order for us to experience that on a daily basis, we have to be in a life of obedience and surrender. That gets us through the veil. That's the thing that brings us into his presence. You think of the veil as a thing that's separating between us and his presence. Hallelujah. We want to make that presence our dwelling place all day long. Thou, O Lord, has been our dwelling place from generations. Hallelujah. That place where it's a place where I love to dwell. It is the presence of my Father, the song said. Well, you know, where is the place that you love to dwell? Where is the place that you can't wait to get to? And it's also the place where God will meet you at. You know, there's a place where he said, I'll put my name there, and there I will meet with you. Well, it's that place of one-on-one communion and fellowship with him. And when we are missing at that place, well, you know, now God is looking. Adam, where are you? There was a time when God never had to look for Adam, because he was right there. Where he was, God was. Where God was, he was. I won in the spirit. Didn't have to look for him, you know. But there was something that has now become a veil. Now God has to now be looking. He can't find Adam now. Looking, you know. What caused that? Disobedience. Now, because of his disobedience, and it says, well, your sins have separated between you and your God, so that he will not hear. It's like a veil. And we got to get through that veil. Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Well, I say there is a veil that, you know, whereas the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us split the veils, well, there is still a veil today in our walking with God. And, you know, one time the Lord explained something to me, kind of like a parable, you know, and I saw some large doors that were supposed to be open so I can get through and others can get through. And, these doors also had some very large hinges. You can just open the door, just push it, it'll open. Just swing wide open. But there were these great hinges that caused the doors to close back again instead of remaining open. I pondered about that for a while. And then I understood. See, whereas the veil is supposed to have been removed, there are some things that can put that veil back. And one of them is what I'm talking about today. The loss of our first love. Whatever that is for you. Maybe yours was you had a place where you couldn't wait to get into that with the Lord every day. Had to get to that place. You know. And that's the place where you felt comfortable with the Lord. You always went back there. Even when there were great conflicts, you went back there. And that's the place where you drew strength from the Lord. Today, where is your place of strength? David had a place of strength. You know, when he wanted to go up against Goliath, and the king tried to give him, you know, an armor and everything and so forth. That didn't work for him. He said, well, I got to go back to the place. It's a place. You know, I've seen him there when I was out in the desert. You know, it's a place near those brook. You know, I've seen him. You know, leads me beside the still waters. It was right there with me. It's a place. I got to go back there. So he went right back there. It's a place that he was comfortable with the Lord. He knew his place. He went back there, and the Lord showed him 5 smooth stones to pick. Well, you know, do we always remember to go back to that place? Well, Jesus never left the place. He's waiting for you still. Praise God. And he said, well, come back home. Come back to me, saith the Lord. And he's always waiting. And, you know, it will do us well to understand that, you know, we got to practice getting back to his presence every day, not just once a week or once a day, but even every moment of the day, in our minds, in our spirit, in our soul, whatever we are doing, even in the body, the mind can stay connected with the Lord like that. Never disconnected. Praise God. Jesus was never disconnected from the Father. He said, "My Father is always with me." John 8 and 29. I'm never disconnected from him. In fact, he and I are one. Of course, they couldn't understand that. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. And remember, one of our main texts was the new and living way, Hebrews 10, that the Lord had consecrated for us through the veil. And we must press beyond that veil every time. There are a lot of things that would be present itself as closing in, trying to prevent us from getting there. In fact, Jesus alluded to the gates of hell. It's pretty much you are on the paths of righteousness, pressing towards, you know, that immortal light. But the gates of heaven closing in on you will not want you to get there. But Jesus gave a promise that the gates of hell will not prevail. They'll try, but they won't prevail. But the only way they won't prevail is for us to come in alignment with the grace that God has given us through the Holy Spirit to get back to the place. When we are out of that place, he may actually prevail against us. You know, people, we've seen stories of people that got careless in the Bible. And, you know, devil, just like we're told in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. And you get careless, you break a hedge, that serpent will come in there and bite. You know, it's like this viper, he's coiled up waiting to strike. If you get careless, you might just find that there's an opening, there's a crack in that defense system. You know, we let down our guard sometimes, and then we fall into error. So let's not do it. You know, stay right there with the Word of God and keep pressing into His presence daily. The Lord will help us. I'm going to pray and then turn over the room for discussions. Father, I pray even today that you will help us to get back to that place where once we first received you. For me, Lord, a place where I once received you. I know, Lord, I've had, you know, my experiences with God. The song says, but I'm still not satisfied. I want more of you, Lord. Draw me closer, Lord, and help me. The scripture says, blessed is the man whom God chooses and causes to approach unto him. I pray for myself and every one of my brothers and sisters that are here, that we may be the chosen of the Lord. No man can come, Jesus said, except my Father draws him. Well, he's drawing you through this message today. That's how he draws us. I pray, Lord, that we will respond in kind. When you draw us, Lord, let us be drawn. Hallelujah. Let us come closely. Say, return unto the Lord and he will abundantly pardon. The Lord is a Lord and our God of restoration. Restore us, O Lord, back to that place. Thank you, Jesus. And enable each one of us to keep in lockstep with you on this journey, a life of true worship, every aspect of our lives, to the glory of God. We thank you, Lord. Wherever, Lord, we put our hands on the plow, Jesus said, or whatever plow you put your hands upon, if you look back, a person is not fit for the kingdom. Are there plows in our lives that we have put our hand upon, something that the Holy Spirit encouraged and instructed us to do, and you said yes, but now we've slacked off? Well, Jesus said, repent and do the first works, lest I come to you and take that candlestick from its place, and the whole place become dark. May the Lord give us understanding in all these things. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.